My name is Mona Lisa. I'm a problem solver, a motivator, and most importantly, a mother. When my daughter was just 18, she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. It nearly destroyed our entire family, but we persevered. And now I'm on a mission to help other families going through this nightmare by bringing them out of the darkness and into the light. This is Prisoner of Hope. I'm Mona Lisa, and welcome to Prisoner of Hope. I want to introduce you to a woman who changed my life and made me see things in a much different way. Kate Boccia is a successful real estate professional, a mother, and a wife who was knocked down several years back after her son was sentenced to 10 years in prison. So often this happens to many of us, but not so often to middle-class suburban families, especially in the South. Unfortunately, despite Kate and her family being middle-class Americans, they were unable to stop the harsh reality of the legal system that soon faced them. Without a doubt, Black families are still being disproportionately incarcerated. I cannot dispute that. However, I am here to share that all families feel this pain of incarceration, whether they are Black, white, Latino, Asian, Native American, rich or poor. The system is not set up to deal with what's fair, and we are often losing our family members to the system, to the cruel realities of over-sentencing and improper rehabilitation. I want folks to know that I do not condone crime by any stretch of the imagination. However, I do condone what's fair and just. The crime should fit the time, no matter who you are, who your family is, or what community you come from. At a time like this, with the added hardship of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, it is nerve-wracking to know that some of our loved ones are behind bars with no real hope for release. It's for this reason I want to continue bringing you these stories, so that we can all become more aware of what's happening among families in America. This includes your family members or your neighbor's family members, some of whom may very well be behind bars. Imagine what it's like right now for those loved ones on the outside. Both Kate Boccia and I are relieved because we both lived through the miracle of having our children released from prison. But there are others out there who are struggling with the pain of incarceration, and my heart definitely goes out to you all. Coming up, I'll be talking with Kate about how her life changed following the prison sentence of her son Daniel, and how she leveraged that obstacle to make a difference for other people. More importantly, we'll take a look at how she helped to guide me through the process of getting my daughter out of prison 5 years early. Take a look at her story.
Kate Bosch and her family were completely blindsided by her son Daniel's drug addiction, which took place right in their home throughout his teenage years. Daniel's addiction got progressively worse until it led him into the depths of addiction and he committed unarmed robbery. Seeing the plight of her son, Kate was inspired to start the National Incarceration Association, a Georgia-based nonprofit association that's acting as a form of CPR to many families in similar positions. Kate's son is home now, but that doesn't mean it's the end of their story.
Wow, that was an amazing story. I mean, so many people get caught up in this life and you just never know where we're gonna go. Kate, thanks so much for joining us today. And I know that what you've been through is a lot, I can tell. I mean, for God's sake, I've been with you for a lot of it. So I really do know what you're going through. You know, tell us a little bit about what it is that you went through and what are your challenges right now?
Well, gosh, it's a big question, but what did I go through? At the beginning, I went through, I call it this kind of swirl of confusion, because things that I thought I knew, I really did not know in regards to the criminal justice system. So this swirl of confusion was my life for several years, really. Went through a lot of pain, a lot of trauma our family went through, and I don't think people really understand that. And the challenges were, from the moment I got the phone call, my son had just been arrested. Mom, I was just arrested. The challenges started then. Where are you? How do I get you out of jail? What do you mean? What is an indictment? And trying to get answers to these questions was a constant battle. Once he went into the prison system, the challenges were staggering. And the trauma was almost broke me. Got through it, but the only way I got through it is by consistently hitting those challenges head on.
Hmm. I can imagine that that must have been very difficult, to say the least. One of the things that a lot of the families go through is not, you know, being afraid of handling their circumstances and their situations. And they have no clue, you know, what to do once they get into this dark space. And they're quite frankly afraid, which is something that you've shared with me on multiple occasions. And I know this, I noticed that when you were trying to figure out your son's case and trying to understand it, that you hit a lot of brick walls, correct?
Absolutely. Constant. And I was very fearful. Fearful of the authorities that were in control of my son, and fearful that the system was going to do something to my son. So constant fear, constant battles and challenges. I can tell you it almost destroyed me. Families should understand that fear, of course you're fearful, but we shouldn't be fearful. We've done nothing wrong. You know, my son might have made a mistake, cost him his freedom, but I didn't do anything wrong. So I should have the ability to not be fearful in that situation.
Let me take you back a little bit, Kate, into your mind, and let me walk through that fear and what that felt like. You know, when you were trying to figure out, you know, how to get him the help that he needed and trying to just get an understanding of the system itself, because you had never, ever really been involved in the system, correct? And because of that, you had such a, you know, you were almost lost, if you would, around the system. How did that fear feel? Walk me through what that felt like.
At first, it felt as if he died. It was grief. It was profound grief. And it immobilized me, kept me in bed for weeks. And that fear, which I had never really experienced it to that degree, that just literally stops you in your tracks. And it stops you from behaving the way you used to behave. Everything about me changed. So the fear is... I can still feel it. And I still get, I think I have a little PTSD from the whole thing, because I'll get anxious if I think back too far. If I think back to the day of the conviction, or back to the days if he was pepper sprayed or put in the hole, or, shake down in his dorm or whatever, or he'd call me and tell me that he's in trouble. It's trauma, and it's post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's real. And I still experience it.
Mm-hmm. And so when we talk to each other on multiple occasions, we have discussed that, you know, in order to get through this, you needed to really kind of pull yourself into a space that drew a lot of strength, right? Where you knew that it without a doubt, it was you and you alone that had to make this happen. So you had to kind of pull yourself out of that feeling of being fearful and really go after understanding how the system worked, and really starting to talk to the people that mattered so that you could start to make some moves and make some changes happen for your son. And over the years, you did a great job at doing that. From what I can tell, you've done a great job. But before we get into that, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about how you created this organization that you now have, how you moved into the thought process that despite all that you were against, you were going to make this happen and get your son freed well before his time was supposed to be here. And I also want to talk to you a little bit more about, you know, how it feels to overcome and to then have someone on the other side as far as your post-incarceration feelings. So before we get ready to go deeper into that, we're going to run out, take a little break here, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. We should not have to worry about our loved ones being in fear for their lives. They should be able to go, do their time, and come home.
Welcome back. We're talking to Kate Basha, a wonderful woman who experienced incarceration in her family and lost her son at one point to the prison system from his drug addiction. And now we're talking a little bit more about how she moved away from her fear. Kate, when we used to talk a lot about your fear, one of the things that we talked about was grabbing a hold of the reality that you were in and realizing that you were thinking about all the worst case scenarios versus what could be positive in it. And it was actually starting to draw to you. Do you remember that?
I do. Knowledge is power. And you start drawing knowledge into you and you become stronger.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things I was glad for was that you were able to grab a hold of yourself and recognize that fear was basically almost like false evidence appearing to be real, right? It was almost like you were seeing things that could be, should have been, and might have been, but not necessarily was. And so you were working really hard at that. And I'm so proud of you that you got through that and on the other side of that, so much to the point where you got to a space of creating an organization that could help other people because you were so serious about making sure that the same things that you were able to figure out for yourself, you could share with other people. And so tell me a little bit about your organization and why you created it and what is it doing for us right now?
So the National Incarceration Association, or the NIA, as we fondly call it, was born as a direct result of my personal experiences with the challenges that we talked about and the fear that I went through. And fear is just makes you become a victim of the system. And I didn't want to become a victim. So one day I'm standing in a prison line to go visit my son. You know what that feels like, that long, lonely line, even though there's all kinds of people in it. They're just kind of sad faces of all shapes, sizes, colors, and ages. And I just had this aha moment that they all felt the way I felt, every single person in that line. But nobody allowed us a space to communicate that, how we felt. So as I was learning and digging deeper into the criminal justice system itself and studying who the players were and who the authority was and getting to know them on a literally on a first name basis, I realized that it wasn't so fearful after all, that the system is profoundly broken, yes, but that's because of society as a whole and what we've allowed to continue to happen. So once the NIA was born and we started attracting families to us, if you build it, they will come. They were so desperate to just have somebody to talk to and be able to say, yes, my person's in prison because they committed a crime, but I still love them. And so when we give the families that space to be honest and open, and then we direct them to the right information and resources, we heal them. It's a fact, and they heal, and they become stronger, and they become a voice for their loved one, a more effective voice for their loved one.
Agreed. Kate, remember when you first opened the National Incarceration Association and you went up against a lot of brick walls because you were doing it the wrong way? You were approaching people in a way that probably wasn't as palatable as you learned as time went on. Tell me about how do people need to approach someone that they need help from when they're dealing with the legal system?
Well, I think like you approach any other system. If you're in the schools, your child, you don't go screeching at the teacher like a fool. You have to go through protocols if there's an issue with the teacher and the student. So in the prison system, I found it was no different because at the beginning I was yelling and I wasn't being politically correct, if you will. I wasn't following protocols. So they were just easy, could easily say, oh, there's one of those crazy mothers, you know, family members. But once I realized that it is a dance, a very delicate dance, that they have to see me as a professional dressed properly. When I'm going to visit my son, I'm dressed well, like as if I'm going out shopping or for lunch. I'm not going in you know, looking like I feel. Trust me, I want to. And I want to snap at the guard at the door, of course, but I stopped doing that. And I said, good morning, officer. How are you today? And things of that, those little steps helped me, help them to relax their posture and start trusting me. And once they relax their posture, we all could get along a little better.
It's I agree with that.
So the NIA coaches and teaches, and more or less what you've done with me, you know, allowed me to vent with you, call you up and act crazy mom, pull us back down, get that off our shoulders and go back forward.
Right. And let me just tell you, for those of you watching, this woman was my bright shining star. She was the person that after having gone through all that she went through, and after having fought the system, learned her lessons, got herself under control, she was the person who handheld me and taught me how to get my daughter out early, like almost 5 years early. Well, 5.5 years early. And for that, I'm forever grateful to you, Kate, because, you know, you held my hand. You taught me exactly how I was supposed to talk to these people, what paperwork I was supposed to fill out, what my expectations should be. And you helped me to manage my expectations. And so it turned out you were coaching me. I was coaching you, and we ended up coaching each other. And from that point, we became phenomenal coaches together, talking to people and families all over this United States. That's why it's the National Incarceration Association. So I'm so grateful for that. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. My daughter has been out for 2 years and your son has been out for a little over a year, correct?
A year and a half.
How are you dealing with your post-incarceration with him?
You know, we have to know that it's there, know it exists, know that he's got baggage from being in prison for 6 years, know that I have baggage. But if we deal with it and talk about it and don't hide it and look for help, ask for help. Don't be afraid of it. Because that's that fear thing, and then you become another victim. You have an issue, we have ways to figure out how to deal with it.
And that's a fact. Being a victim in this situation is in some cases true for those who committed crimes against people, but when it is happening to you and your family, it's time for you to not look at yourself as a victim. It's time to stand up as a warrior and to try to fight this battle and walk through it and realize that you too will get to the other side, just like Kate, like myself, and thousands and millions of other people have in the past. Kate, do you really feel like at this point in time, you're completely healed? And if you're not completely healed, what do you think it's going to take for you to get there?
I don't believe I'm completely healed because I still have moments. My son is still under probation, so I still get a little anxious if he calls, that same reaction. And what do I need to do? I guess, again, I have to understand that I do still have some baggage with it, and I need to reach out to other families to help me through rough times and look for help from people like you in my sphere. That's how I think I can get through this.
Excellent. Well, I'll always be here for you. I'll always be available for you. And you can rest assured that anytime you call, I'll pick up the phone and we'll get through this together. It's a matter of time. And that's all we need in order to heal is time, direction, wisdom, thoughts, you know, help from different people. We'll get through this. Stand by.
Prisoner of Hope is not just a show. It is a movement to restore empathy and to rebuild the family unit. Catch episodes early on the PrisonerOfHopeTV.com website and YouTube channel. Subscribe to our blog. Learn more about Mona Lisa and access The Vault, a video resource library designed to help you in knowing your rights, tips on post-incarceration life skills, starting your journey to self-discovery, understanding family and parenting relationships, and more. Looking for resources in your neighborhood? Use The Vault to type in your zip code and find therapists, reentry programs, food assistance, and more. Prisoner of Hope needs you to get involved, and there are three ways. Learn how you can volunteer, donate, or even become a sponsor of the show. Interested in booking Mona Lisa to speak at your event or on your panel? Learn how under the contact section on the website. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to find out about upcoming Prisoner of Hope tours and other special events. Hope isn't canceled. We are in this together.
We go through so many things in the world of incarceration, and there are two sides to this story. You have your victim side and you have your criminal side. I do not in any way, shape, or form condone violence or condone criminal activity. However, what I will say is that I do understand that there is a pain like you would never know when you start to experience this in your life, whether it's a loved one that you know, and you're close to, or if it's a friend or a family member or just a cousin or whatever, you are going to go through some things that you have never experienced. But the thing that I like to tell everybody is stay focused on the prize. Stay focused on that end date of knowing that this too will eventually pass. And by doing that, just like with Kate, you know, realizing that it takes time to get through and to understand what you're going through. Start to take notes and talk to people about what you're going through. Ask people around you. Don't be afraid. Don't go into silence. This just is not the time to become silent and to become ashamed and to walk in guilt and fear. This is the time for you, if you want to help your loved one and if you want to help yourself, to get it together for you first and then throw the lifeline out to your loved one. It's like when you're on the plane. When you're on the plane, you've got to pull that mask down for yourself. You've got to help you first before you can help someone else. That's what being a prisoner of hope is all about. It's about being someone that can reach out and help someone, but helping themselves first. I want you to know that without a doubt, Kate has been a major blessing in my life. Kate went through a lot of trials and tribulations to begin to be a person who can open up an organization that helps other people. She put herself on the back burner in order to realize what it takes to help other people get to their freedom. Kate helped me. Kate helped my family. She helped me get my daughter out 5 years early because I was willing to be coached and to listen to her. And so what I understand and what I am very clear with is that it takes someone to help another one. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you. We all need each other in this life. And it's important that we understand that each one needs one. You are never an island by yourself unless you choose to be an island by yourself. And when you're going through different things like this, it's important that you start to understand what it takes to get to your next by realizing how you got to where you are. You have to take a look at how did we get here? What were the circumstances that surrounded where we are, and how did we get to where we are today? That's how we get to be able to move to our next. For instance, I personally, when my daughter was incarcerated, I realized that yes, she was guilty. Yes, she deserved to get time, but no, she did not deserve to get 10 years with no parole. That's not what she deserved to get. What she deserved was to get, for a first-time felon, some time so that she could learn her lesson. And then she needed to come back out and give this world a try. Well, with Kate, one of the things I realized was that she showed me how to go in and prove that she was over-sentenced by understanding the laws and realizing that there was a law that passed right when she was sentenced that would have, if we had paid attention to it during that time, would have right off the bat given her less time. But it took me having to find someone to get that help. And that's what Kate was with the National Incarceration Association. If you are in need of help, I'm here for you. The National Incarceration Association is here for you. Those are people that can help you to become better, to walk through your situations with grace, to be more at peace, and to understand the harmony that you have and that you need in order to be able to walk past or walk with your loved one. It's not easy, I know that. It's not easy having a loved one incarcerated. But I want you to know that I am your sister in this journey and that I'll walk with you all the way to the bitter end. But I need you to walk with me. I need you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I need you to get strong and I need you to start focusing in what is it going to take for you to be free and for you to walk as a prisoner of hope.